God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with you. Anybody in their first 30 days?
Welcome.
Anybody else? Awesome. Welcome. At this time, please silence your cell phones. We also respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This is the foreword to the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple actions study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are going to be discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel. We've got Kyle and Alex. And I believe Alex will kick it off for us tonight. And I'm going to be reading the first paragraph. It's going to be on page 84, and then each of the panel will share on it. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code.
Thank you, Morgan. I'm Alex. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Alex.
Sobriety date is November 26, 2009. Home group West Ghent, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock. You can come over and get a personal greeting from me or from Donald there, our legacy greeter. But step 10 is where I first realized just how woefully inadequate my fourth step was. And, you know, I kind of think of it, you know, step 10 is like the growth step, 10, 11, and 12. And that's, you know, because when I did my fourth step and my fifth step, I was like, yeah, I mean, I absolutely nailed it. Like, this is, if it may not be perfect, but it's pretty much as close to perfection as anyone's ever gotten. And so I was pretty set, good to go. And then I started living my life, and, you know, sobriety isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. And, step 10 is where I continue to kind of look at myself and kind of refine the self-appraisal that I had just made a beginning with step 4. And when I'm going throughout my day, I I start to notice these things or these behaviors or these things that come up, and I'm thinking my first reaction is to, well, I need to manage this outside situation, and then I have this, without even realizing, I have this idea that sobriety is supposed to be like my drinking, where I wanted to feel, I thought it was very reasonable when I was drinking, and just a very reasonable attitude and outlook to have was just that I should feel good all the time. And if I don't feel good all the time, that means that I'm doing, or other people are doing something wrong. Like, things are just like, if I could just, get in the right circumstance, be able to control other people's behaviors, then things are going to be pretty good, and I'm going to be good to go. So when I take a look at the kind of the basics, the selfishness and the fear and the resentment, and it's the situations that I encounter that bring these things that are previously obscured to me to kind of my conscious mind. And then I think, well, what do I do about it? And for the approach tends to be, if certainly in the beginning, is that early on, I want to kind of just like, I want that perfection. That's, in the fourth step, I didn't really identify that perfectionism is kind of my key central character defects that all these other things kind of come out of. And so I want to say, well, if I've got it right, then who has it wrong? And that is a very intense way to live, but that's the way, I would do things. And I don't have, if I'm in sobriety, I don't have that kind of that relief that the alcohol gave me. It wasn't, I didn't drink for all that long, relatively. I didn't have like this epic drunkalog and things like that. But when, and I had a lot of relapses early on, but when I really committed to the program and really wanted it, I found that it was sobriety. The periods where I wasn't drinking was a lot different than the period I could keep it together pretty well. But not having that, it's like, what do I do with all these feelings that I have and that come up? And anyway, so I'll save kind of the rest of that for the next reading. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, John. Kyle, alcoholic.
Hey, Kyle.
Sobriety date, March 2nd, 2011. Home group, last call, young and sober, in Hampton, Virginia, Friday nights, 8 p.m. Come hang with us. This Friday, we go out to eat. Quarterly, we got a game night. And every third Friday, we got business meeting. So I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor, and I'm blessed to be a sponsor. And I just say that just to show program works. Period. It works. It really does. Man, in my drinking, I got mad that people had a book to life, that like people, like you could deal with your emotions, right? And have them and respect them and actually work to understand them as a normal person. And even if you didn't get it, that was okay, right? There was no whatever. But the most important thing is that, like, I'd see all these people around me and they wouldn't just destroy their lives around them. And like I did with drinking. And so I'm like, well, what's the thing? And then I came into sobriety and I was like, well, what's, like, I get it. We've got these tools, but what's the thing? How do I do the thing where I feel the things and I don't bring the thing down? Like, how do you do that? And stuff. And then I had to share it, and I just have this deep emotional, this one moment that's crazy. And then I kind of floated through the six and seven, and it was kind of just words on a page. And then they're like, okay, now let's make a list, and eight and nine. And then I get to 10. And the first time I was brought through the 10 step, it was like, hey, you've been doing them. There are the other steps, and you've got to take, these are tools. You get to use them as tools. And for all intents and purposes, that's right. But in the beginning of the book, it says, this is the precise way we have recovered. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I was like, well, what's the precise way? Like, it was always a question lingering. It wasn't until my sponsor brought me through this. He was like, hey, so listen, there's a step to help you work the other steps, right? And each step kind of folds in. It all works together and in an order. And the proof of that, to me, in my opinion, in my experience, is within the 10th step. It's like, hey, work these other steps. And so I also didn't know the severity of how awesome this step would work until I actually went through the 4th step as it was designed. There are unbelievable actions that it asks, and we all know them. Like, there's an inventory to write down, there's people, there's, you know, whatever, but there's attitudes. And there's little places where checkpoints of buy-in. Like, can I really buy into the idea that, like, my anger isn't as important today? Like, that's tough. Can I buy into the idea that, like, my self-righteous anger is not, like, the main thing? So that was tough to experience in. And then it's like, you get to the 10th. And I remember coming back to my sponsor about this. And he's like, he would go through those checkpoints again, the same ones I went through in the 4th. And that was really important, because the honest truth was, I didn't 100% buy into them in that moment. Like, I didn't really buy into the idea that I need to offer tolerance, pity, and patience as to a sick friend when I was angry. I was justified to be angry. And it's like, and we don't retaliate with anyone. This is the action that it kind of goes by. We continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And so that's step 4. And with step 4, there's these attitudes. And that's just the attitudes with resentments. I haven't even touched the fear part. And like with fear, there's a trust and reliance on something bigger than myself. And like, I'm going to play the role, like, self-reliance obviously was the problem, but like, I didn't see how even my good intentioned control didn't mean anything in these quick moments of when, you know, oh, I was justified to leave, like, even as simple as I was justified to leave my towel on the bathroom floor for my pregnant wife. It was fine. I've had a hard day. You know what? I earned it. Right. And so you kind of get the idea that, like, hey, I got to do this thing, because on the other side of this, what I've known is freedom. And if you're new and you don't know what freedom is, it's not necessarily happiness, right? I would argue it's better. He said something that hit me of, like, I thought that, like, it was so cool when you said it, that I thought my sobriety was alcoholism. The beauty of it was that I get to feel. I get to feel today and live with it, and then trust in something bigger to have courage to take the action through it. And the reality of it is, as an alcoholic, I have no idea how to do that. I just get frustrated and angry, and I'm back to where I was. And so the beauty of this step is that, like, it gives me the real actions to look back at the spiritual tools laid in front of me and actually do them and actually go back and buy back in, because it's a disease of forgetfulness. I forget that I, like, oh yeah, like, I am not asking what to do in this situation. I'm asking who God would want me to be. And then I didn't know the true power of 6 and 7 until I got to my 10th step and I had to continue to use it. There's a little trick as an alcoholic that, like, I know that I have to deal with. I don't really want to do this thing. I really don't. I mean, it says it and there is a solution. I don't, this is not like happy playful joy time all the time. I really don't want to do it. And so the genius of that 6 and 7 is that, like, and guess what? You don't have the power to do it in the first place. You never did. And I'm like, well, what do I do with that? Trust and reliance upon power greater than myself. Okay, so what does that look like? Well, I got to be ready to give up the willingness. And from experience, it's happened over and over, so that, like, now I really do want to give up this anger. I really do want to give up this awful feeling that makes me, that's I'm watching for. But then that other part in 7, the purpose of 7 is that I'm going to allow my higher power to work on his time and not my own. That the prayer of the 7th step is that it's for whatever's in my way of my usefulness. And I don't know if it's the defect that's in front of me or not. And I don't know when that's supposed to happen, but I'm just here to be ready. I'm just here to show up for it. So that's where the men and the boys, this 10th step lit me up, where now there's a design of life. There's a design of living. And there's beauty in that. Again, through practice, this 9th, like working the 8th step and 9th step, I found more power in the 8th step than the 9th step itself. The 9th step has these words, but this 8th step gets me ready. Like, I'm actually going to buy into the attitude that I was wrong, and I'm going to live in my wrongness. It's almost better to have a better attitude and get the words wrong with it. Like, I can mess up. There's a process to do a 9th step, but it's, you know, it's there. And I've done a 9th step where I just wanted to feel better, and that's not the point. That's a result. If I go into a 9th step to feel better, of course I want to feel better. I want to feel better my whole life. Purpose is that, like, I'm gonna do this thing because I trust the process, and I was wrong, right? And if I'm not wrong yet, guess what? I got to go back to my 8th. But then at the end of this paragraph, it says something interesting. We make amends quickly, and then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. There's a few words at the beginning of this that stand out to me, and that's vigorous and then understanding and effectiveness. I always wanted to get better, but I never had the willingness to do the things that happen. And I never had the direction that I did, and turns it into a tool to me, help me grow in understanding and effectiveness. And so I get to act, and that's tough because it says vigorous. Vigorous is not let's put it off till tomorrow type thing. I need people because I get my higher power from you. Like, I need you, right? And to get me closer to you, I need to get this stuff out of the way. I literally, like, I don't get a side of the street until the 9th step, and I got to continue to clean the dang thing. Yeah, but then I have to now get... You've gotten it out of the way. Congratulations. You're effective and growing. Now go help somebody. Otherwise, and this is what I found, I've gone through all the whole process, and then I stopped and I didn't move forward. And I went back and had to do the whole thing over again with the same thing over and over. I need to go help somebody. So yeah, I got a lot more to share on that, but that's it for that part. Thanks for sharing.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh, all right. The next reading is also on page 84. I know, it's like all in a row. All right. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react as so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
Thinking about or what I say, you know, what I'm thinking about is kind of a big part of my 10 step. Just, you know, what am I thinking about during the day? You know, what questions am I asking myself? And I remember at some, you know, sometime in the first year or two thinking, you know, why is it that, you know, what's really the point of going to meetings and like reading the same stuff over and over again? And, you know, what's the point? And I have to think about it and, you know, just be aware, like, okay, you know, there's an issue there. You know, what am I supposed to see? And I think the value in it, the program, as I understand it, is the steps, the 12 steps, and the literature is people's experience working those steps and what they learned and how they grew along the way. And, you know, my character defect, I talk about perfectionism. You know, when I hear a lot of the stuff in the literature, my first thought is like, oh, you know, like I'm supposed to be perfect, like right away. Like when it talks about, okay, sanity, by this time, sanity is, you know, comes and goes. Over time, I get more sane, but it comes and goes. And so I would take, you know, my aversion to AA was and staying here long term and not relapsing is the, you know, taking just, you know, taking issue with everything, you know, arguing, debating, wanting to, you know, say, oh, that doesn't sound right. How does this work? And then I think, you know, it's probably my sponsor said to me, you know, well, what is your experience? And then then I start to realize like I have to go out in the world and have my own experiences. Then I have my own experiences to share about. And that is something, you know, taking the 10th step, I reflect on the experiences that I'm having and, you know, my part in the experiences and what the world has in store for me and how other people are reacting to me. And that's all part of what I consider 10th step work, that inventory process, where in the fourth step, it talks about and fourth and fifth and sixth, talking about character defects, and that's the way I kind of internalize or conceptualize what taking inventory is. It's like, okay, you know, what's the character defect here? And I'd hear people say, well, you know, inventory is not all about like the bad things, and you know, you're supposed to take the good things too. And I thought, yeah, I mean, that sounds good, but yeah, it's obviously the bad things that need to be identified. But there was I found going along, the more I practiced the taking the inventory part, the more advantageous it was to identify, allow that higher power in to help restore me to sanity. And one of the reasons for that was I think what was it that made me really want to come into AA and get sober and stay sober long term? Because when I came in, this was in Roanoke, and there weren't, you know, I was in my 20s, and there weren't people my age around. The people like, you know, the next youngest people were maybe in their 40s, of like 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. I just, you know, I would say, oh yeah, like I'm at rock bottom, like I can't go any further. But really, the truth was, I could go further if I wanted to. But what was it that made me stop? And it was, and I identified that as pride. I mean, that was, you know, a lot of what was driving me was pride. Like I didn't want to go down like that. Like I didn't want the all those negative consequences that were going to come about to happen to me. And, you know, and I didn't like the fact that, you know, I've been relapsing for 4 years, and I was like, well, you know, I had 4 years sobriety. I wasn't relapsing. And I didn't like that. And that was pride, and pride's supposed to be a character defect. And so I identified stubbornness as a character defect in my first inventory. The stubbornness to, just even though alcohol wasn't working, hadn't worked for me for a long time, I kept trying to make it work. But I kept trying to make sobriety work too. And so I began to think of my inventory. Maybe it's not so much one is kind of taken as a negative, one is a positive. It's kind of more about like, what am I directing my energy towards? And that is something that I try to be mindful of, because I will, as it talks about in the reading, I want to fight, or like, and I think what that, to me, what that term means in the literature is like, if I want to fight someone, it's not like a physical fight most of the time. It's more like a zero sum kind of thing. Like it's not enough for me to just do well in life, but like, I gotta take them down a little bit too. Like, yeah, if I really want to even things out. But that is not the best use of my energy. The best use of that energy, as it says, is turn myself, direct myself towards, helping others. And that may not be like in terms of like doing things for people, but just that tolerance and that patience and understanding, and not approaching the situation with like an extreme amount of anxiety. Because other as I practice the 10 step more and more, I get a sense that, oh, other people, when I'm really anxious, other people, whether they know it or not, they can sense that, and they can provoke these kind of situations. And so that's those are all the things that I kind of that they weren't my fourth step at all. I mean, my fourth step, wasn't in there at all. And the 10th step is really, I mean, that's just, it's just such a big concept for me to wrap my head around, because it kind of encompasses all the principles of 4 through 9.
Oh man, that was awesome. So something has happened like recently, and it's kind of culminated to tonight. So I'll kind of go through this part. But before I go into this quick little story, I'll try to make it fast. Morgan said to get weird, so I'm gonna get weird. My position of neutrality when drinking was at the bottom of the Jack Daniels bottle. In fact, it wasn't at the bottom. It was near the end. It was near the end when I had another supply. Yeah, that was the position of neutrality, because who cared? I'd have enough for a blackout, and then hopefully enough for the next morning if I didn't finish it, and I usually did. So that was all I had, was pushing it down. And I thought for a number of years in my sobriety that I was put in a position of neutrality. And I just was really just like, no, we're not going to talk about it. It is what it is. It just is what it is. Nothing is just what it is for me. As an alcoholic, if I'm pushing it down, I am letting it mold. I am letting it infect. I am letting, and that's you may have a different experience if you are good at it is what it is, and you just say the serenity prayer and all is serene. That is great. That is great. There's no monopoly on this thing. But in my drinking, I lost a lot of friends coming to sobriety. And around like 76 days sober, I met some of my best friends. There's three of us. One of them, we continued to be friends. And just to try and cut it short, one it didn't work out about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Didn't work out. 6 years ago, 6 years ago. And guess what? I tried to put it through a 10th step. right? And I had my own selfish reasons and I didn't go with it with somebody else. And I tried to take it through the process, but then I tried to make amends on something that I had no idea why I was wrong because I didn't think I was wrong. And so guess what? That person said, you just are saying these words to feel better. You actually have no idea what you did you? And this is one of my best, like in the trenches. I mean, first three, we were all like, this person specifically was closer to me in sobriety than my other friend, right? That we were a little triumvirate. And I had prayed and prayed and prayed and done work and done work. And what I realized is that the beauty of this is that like, hey, like I this person has thrown me out of their off, as it says in the ninth step. I try to make amends and people will throw you out. Not even make the right amends, right? That's the craziest thing about God is that even when I mess up, it still, it does its thing, right? I don't know how it works. It just does. So follow me. 6 years, I was in a position of neutrality from the beauty of this program through prayer, through having a sponsor, through work. This is where I'm saying like happiness is not the goal. If I don't have sadness, I don't actually have happiness. You know what I mean? There is no scale, right? So I can't just have happiness. I need to have that sadness. I need to have this other thing so that there's perspective. I'm not saying that I need to be sad. I'm saying that it happens, right? It talks about what is the state of neutrality. It's not the bottom of the bottle. It's safe and protected. I just feel like I'm safe and protected, right? And that is what's based on fit spiritual condition. Fortunately, we'll hear in the other reading that that's not my sobriety is based on, but these promises are true if I'm in fit spiritual condition. So something to aspire to, right? 6 years, God's got it on his time. I go to this other friend's birthday party and I'm going there and I'm there with my wife and it's part of the contention wall, right? And my friend goes, hey, by the way, didn't know this was happening. Surprised it on me. She's coming. And I'm like, okay. We did the work. God's got it. I guess this is where it's at. Years melted in a moment's time. And I got my friend back. And she was the one that said, we're like cats, Kyle. We just land on our feet. Keep going. Go to the stupid meeting, you idiot, you know? And it hurt for years, but it was my battle to fight. I don't have a true alcoholic. I brought it up again, the whole situation. And we had a moment where we're like, shut up, you idiot. You did it, you know, whatever. And I got a text like, hey, let's not do that again. And right before this meeting began, okay, I'd come down early. I meant to get work done. I got a call from somebody. And they had never been taken to the 10th step before, as it's identified in the big book, the black part. And I start going through it. And we spent over an hour and a half on the phone. He's like, whoa, this is different. How'd you learn how to do this? I'm like, bitter experience, you know? Like, and I didn't even get to go through all of it because it can be extensive. There is actually, I need to write stuff down. But I, you know, hey, we get through this. And then right before this, I wanted to get prayed up. I was about to head inside and my friend calls. And I say, hey, Lele, it's a nickname. I'm just about to speak at a meeting. I need to get prayed up. And she prays me up. I do not have to work on me. It doesn't work that way. I need to clear the path and trust that there's something bigger than me that is all encompassing. like that feeling of seeing like a whale so much bigger that you didn't realize it was that size. That times a million is my higher power today. I hope my higher power is as scary as any fear that I've ever had and more than it. Because that regular gen, you know, that's the vastness of it. And the benefit is that I get, when I do the work and I'm in fit spiritual condition, I get to feel safe and protected and not forcing my life and forcing those in my life to walk around eggshells. Thanks. Let me share.
It's a shame. Thank you both. All right. The next reading is going to be on page 85, not 84. All right. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Alex.
Thank you, Morgan. So when it talks about the daily reprieve from alcoholism, and I still find myself thinking, how does this spirituality and like having to continue to do personal inventory fit in with it? And I don't know the specific answer. I know when I wasn't doing it, I mean, things didn't go so well, but, you know, I don't know the specific reason for it, but I do know that when I'm not drinking, it's kind of like, I think of how much time I spend, like, you know, the physical, mental energy just around alcohol or drinking or, you know, planning on drinking or how much fun I was going to have or like how awful I felt afterwards and all that stuff. It kind of becomes, well, what do I do with all this extra time and extra energy? And the 10 step provides a huge outlet for that. And I look at the 10 step and I see the, you know, when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You know, I mean, how many times am I really going to be wrong? And I think, because I'm thinking like, okay, wrong, like objective wrong, like anyone will look at this like, oh, that's a bad action, that's good action. And that is the case sometimes. But as I go along, I go a little more deeper, the more I keep this in my awareness. And one of the things that used to drive me crazy at meetings, because I think I was probably sharing a lot about how spiritual I was and how well things were going, except for all these, you know, all these jerks out there that were messing things up and, like, you know, knocking me off my program. And so I'd hear a lot that, you know, anytime there's, you know, I feel disturbed, that means there's something wrong with me. And I didn't like that, because that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I also said, you know, like, am I the only one that rule applies to? And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this can't be like this, that can't be right. Like I can't be wrong all the time and other people are right. The other thing I notice is I go, you know, if anyone's looked at the general population recently, mental health is not, you know, it's not a strong year for mental health out there. But so but my point is that wrong means that wrong can mean I'm, you know, the way I'm approaching these situations is not working for me. Like, I'm feeling disturbed, and like my attitude and outlook is not working. And so I think, you know, okay, well, What is it that I need to do? I mean, how do I deal with these situations? What is it that needs to change about me? And that's where it kind of gets into the 11th step, naturally, where when I think of prayer, it's just questions that I'm just kind of like keeping in my mind, and the meditation and see, you know, the things that happen to me along the way are kind of show me the answer to that. And sometimes what I've found is, you know, sometimes the way I approach things in my life is right for a certain time in a certain context, and then it becomes not right. Like 20 years ago, you know, I mean, it was, you know, things work for me that don't work for me now. I mean, I could walk around and, you know, kind of be kind of sad and broody, and you know, and like it was cool, and you know, it's kind of artistic, and you know, now if I do that, people just think I've been indicted or something. Like it doesn't work for me anymore, and so I need to be aware of these things, and how as I change and as the context of my life change, I have to change along with it. I have to adapt to meet circumstances, because for me, for long periods of time, I mean, you know, and I think other different people have different tolerances for it. But for me, it's just like, you know, it's not like, you know, if I'm having a bad day or bad week or bad month, like, you know, I'm completely going downhill. But you know, just staying in that kind of situation for, you know, mentally and spiritually and emotionally for me for a prolonged period of time, it doesn't work, because then I just start to think, well, what's the point of sobriety anyway? It's like, you know, I might as well just, yeah, at least drinking, there's a few good hours, you know, and that's kind of the way I think about things, and so that keeps me moving forward, and that's, you know, that maintenance and of the spiritual condition that is really a necessity for me to do long-term sobriety, is because it's not about that, you know, that moral objective right and wrong. It's about more, it's kind of like, I kind of take it nowadays as continue to take personal inventory and when I could do things better, promptly, yeah, acknowledge that to myself at least. And then, you know, I have a starting point, like where it's, I want to move towards the positive instead of trying to run away from the negative. Like, you know, just kind of having that in my awareness that something needs to change here. And then seeing the higher power work in my life starts to become more apparent. So that's all.
Awesome. I got sober in Richmond, and it means nothing. You know, when people are like, oh, I got sober here. Like, it's like, cool story. But that just happened, that where the information came, there were some really good speakers that were coming through Richmond. And one of them identified that, like, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And it's the cookie that I wanted from the beginning. How do I stay sober? AA does not teach me how to stop drinking. It teaches me how to stay sober. How do I stay sober? It is contingent. I have to reread it, right? Contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Not that my spiritual condition is going to be great. Actually, most days, I'd say above 90%, I wake up and I'm like, here we go again. Here we go. It's like, there's no waking up sense of like, oh, this is great. It's usually on a vacation that I feel like, oh my gosh, life is wonderful. That's it. That's just what I get. And so the beauty of this is that, like, I can stay sober by the maintenance of this, by continuing my daily maintenance of this. So that's how I stay sober. So this step is literally showing, it's giving me the cookie. the cookie is I got to do this thing to stay sober. That's how I do it. So it's like, okay. All right. I'm not saying how the paragraph starts, right? These paragraphs, it's given me the function. It's telling me like what to do to make it work, right? The reward of when we do this thing, right? When I'm in fit spiritual condition, right? But I don't have the attitude yet. What attitude do I need to take of this thing? What's the nature of what I'm dealing with? My alcoholism is a subtle foe. I don't get to fix it. It's not fixed. It is a daily reprieve, right? It's easy to let up on the spiritual program. Okay. So I get a break as an alcoholic. Like that was fine. Like, oh, because this is a lot. This is a lot to take on. Like, this is a lot. Like, let me not like look at this like, oh, this is something casual. But guess what? Y'all told me to start taking some of this action when I first got here. You know what it was? Call some drunks. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is all that matter. Get in the trenches. And if you're not in the trenches, go back to the trenches because somebody else is there bloody. Like, call somebody. This is very, very important. Because otherwise, I have a friend, he travels all around. I would regard him as the 10-step buddy. And another one that recently passed, and he used to get me every single time. He would expedite the whole process. He'd go, where's the fear, Kyle? Where's fear? And we would talk about it every Sunday. My sponsor opens up for people that have gotten there. A Zoom call where we can go over inventory. And get in the trenches with each other and like do that thing that you heard old timers do of like, you're BSing right there. No, that's not that. I don't think that's it. I think it's this. But do you buy that? Is that really what is? And we're working, we're doing it out of love, but we're working that sixth sense of like, is it actually this? Do you feel your gut? Yes, you got me. You're right. It's not that I mind being alone. It's that I mind being lonely. And the thing is that my delay, just like my drinking, when I thought, oh, I'm just going to drink and I'm not hurting anybody. I get sober and I don't think that I have to work on anything. And I'm sober. I'm not hurting anybody. And I forget the instinctual nature is that if I was doing this on purpose, this level of selfishness and self-centeredness, I'd be evil. But I don't. It just happens. Left to my own devices. I am on a 6-month time period with nothing. And I'm drunk. With no higher power, no nothing. I'm gone. Right? That's what my drinking showed me. And so this is very subtle. And I need to do it every day, whether I think I should do it or not. And I don't do that. I don't always do that. But then it gets to the attitude. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. Notice that in the fourth step, when it talks about fear, it doesn't say what you should do. It asks how God would want me to be. What I've found is that when I go through the process of inventory and I actually and earnestly am in that place that I'm going to trust this infinite power better than my finite self, this infinite thing that's out there. I'm gonna buy into that, right? And I ask, who would God want me to be against something? What I found is that when it's like, oh, God would want me to have self-respect, would want me to have love for who I am and the actions that I set, that my time actually is important. It's worth it. That sacrificing that time for other people that are important in my life is important. Right? Oh my gosh. I need to make amends. And that's how it happens. That characteristic is there. And in this weird moment of like going through like, oh my gosh, that is, yes, that is who God would want me to be. Now let me think back to what I did. What's the next move? How should I act? It just shows up. Now, this is personal experience, right? But this is a constant action. And this is not something I do perfectly at all. In fact, when it was brought, I can't remember what he said, but I had just thought to myself immediately after he said it, oh, I need to make amends to my nephew. You know, that's the beauty of this thing. It's this, it talks about it in the back of the big book when it goes through it, and there's a solution, we agnostics of the spiritual experience. This is something developed over time. And it just kind of comes, and all of a sudden it's like, of this subtle foe is that when I leave it alone, just like my drinking alone, when I leave it alone, it gets worse. When I don't do this thing, so I need to do this daily reprieve. And all of a sudden, now that where it says, I align my will with God's, God asked me who to be. I had a sponsor one time said, you know, usually all of my decisions come down to two, one way or the other. And the power of this program is that I'm going to be okay either way, right? I think my higher power, that my God wants me to do it with him. And that's the important part, right? And that's more important for me as an alcoholic. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you both. All right, we got one final reading, which just happens to be the next sentence after the one we just read, also on page 85. And we'll read this, and then each of y'all get about a minute-ish to wrap it up. All right. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who is all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action.
Yeah, I mean, as readings already has said, much has already been said, and I think, yeah, just close my thoughts and experiences on the 10th step with working the 10th step continuously, as I talked about previously. That's my own 2 feet, and to really feel that the program was working for me and not be pulled in this direction or that direction, because you know, growth and spirituality and general appraisal of people, it's very subjective. I mean, it's all like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder, and some people might, you know, some people might be out there listening and think, you know, as this guy's speaking, I can actually see him moving backwards in recovery. And then some people might identify with it, and then it might be a combination of both. So, but that's the 10th step is where I learned, like, it's like, you know, look, you know, keep the focus on myself and work the program. And I feel, as the reading talks about, that higher power, you know, that's working with me. Thanks.
When I read these words, I was like, you're going to feel the flow of life. Like, it seems very flowery and just very whatever. And it's real. And I just want to, emphasize it's real. There is a flow state. There is a connection there. I think the crazy thing is that it says, but we must continue. Like, there's more action to be had. And that's because it's a work in process. And that's the beauty of this. There is just as many outs as my fallacies that's given to me as an alcoholic to work this program actively. And that's okay. And that my higher powers gonna work with me. That's why that second step is so important. Yeah, this is something I've gone through some stuff, and it's dragged me along, whether reluctantly or happily walking. So great stuff.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you both.
All right, we're going to pass the seventh tradition baskets. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. A word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements? Hey, Emily. It will definitely be down in the basement. And there are very beautiful pumpkin themed flyers fitting for the months that we are in, fall. And they're up here if you would like to take some to your groups. I know Kyle's got an announcement. Okay.
Hey, Helen. Kyle, alcoholic.
Kyle.
Hampton, District 8, Growth Ad Hoc Committee is having an event October 18th, 12:30 to the dentist's favorite time, 2:30. And it is. All right. Come up to Hampton. We're at Emmanuel Episcopal Church off of Mercury Boulevard. It's on our website. It should be on the area website as well. I think I got the confirmation for it. It's called So You Think You Have a Healthy Home Group. And so it's a potluck. We've got prior delegates. We've got people that worked in the area as part of the workshop, but it's food first. And then your experience is it's really workshop. It's going to be ask it basket style. So if you're looking for the flyer, I've got it on my phone. I can text it to you just as easily. It should be on avirginia.org. It should be at Hampton AA. Ask me for the flyer. There's a website that's for Hampton and Newport News. It has the flyer there, but ask me for the flyer. I got the details. So if you're interested, please come check it out on October 18th. Thanks. Let me share.
Thanks, Scott. All right. Simple Actions is home group. If you are interested,
strong.
All right. Smokers. Oh yeah. Smokers. No, I skipped sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available right here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. If you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Smokers, please use the butt cam provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website. simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Cafe Stella, just up Colonial Avenue. In closing, let's thank our panel again. After we close it up, please feel free to come up here and thank Kyle and Alex. And Travis has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
He can
read.
Hi, everybody. My name is Travis. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Travis.
A Vision for You, Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Slap hands.
Red robe, red robe.
We can make this happen.
moment of silence. Our Father,
our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Stay.
Amen. Yes. Okay.